Hi, this is Lauren Jubilier with your December Solstice Astrology Update. And I just want to start with a little prayer. May you find peace and may you connect to that spark of light within you and remember that spark of light in everyone, in all life and the earth. May you find inspiring ways to authentically contribute to the process of renewal, healing, transformation that we are all a part of during these amazing, remarkable, and very challenging times. And may we find unity and connection during these times that we have found ourselves in divisiveness. So the solstice is a time of expansive light and a time that it is really helpful to slow down and go within, but also a time that's very busy for a lot of us. I'm going to, at the end of this, talk much more about the solstice, but I want to begin with talking about Mars and Venus and where they are now and how they are interacting with each other. And also, there's a lot going on with Mars and Venus. So I want to start with Venus. I was going to start with Mars, but I think that Venus has such a beautiful energy and she's really holding a lot of space for healing and expansiveness. And so I think it'll be helpful for us to start with her. So Venus is in Aquarius. And what's very, very interesting, and she's trine Jupiter, so in Gemini, which means that the energy of Venus, which is the feminine energy in all of us, the yin energy, the energy that's about how we wish to love and be loved and how we wish to be valued and what we value. But ultimately it's how we embody the divine feminine. So with Jupiter trining Venus, her energy is really amplified. But what's most interesting to me is that she is conjunct Chariclo. And Chariclo is a very interesting centaur. And she was married to Chiron, who we've spoken about many times. Chiron is the wounded healer, the medicine man, the mentor, the shaman, the one who teaches us about tending our wounds and remembering that it is through the cracks that the light comes in. And it's through having a sense of compassion and kindness and presence for those places that are feel broken inside of us that we heal them and that we can contribute the medicine from that to others. And he was also this amazing teacher. So she's married to him and she started out as a mermaid. So she fell in love with Chiron and she was able to shapeshift into a centaur. So that means that she became like Chiron, half horse, half human, whereas before she was half human, half fish, mermaid. So supposedly the story goes that they were married for 900 years, that they walked the earth together. And her name means grace spinner, which I love. Space holder. She's a space holder. She holds a space for healing. She holds a space for soul and for light. And she's associated with that image and the energy. Just take a minute to bring into your mind's eye and into your heart the image of sunlight on water, moonlight on water, and starlight on water. That's her flowy, light-filled energy. She's a midwife and a death doula. She is a soul midwife. She's considered deep and magical and holds expansive, loving energy. And she's a shapeshifter. So as you know, or from maybe you don't remember, but Chiron was a master healer and teacher. And he was going to a party and he ended up getting hit in the foot with a poison dart. Accidentally, nobody's fault, but because he was half human, he was able to experience pain and suffering from the poison. And because he was half God, he didn't die. So he lived with this for 900 years. And his wife held a healing space for him. She went through this initiation with him as the wounded healer. She held space and she midwifed him to his full ensoulment, to his full opening and awakening to the human soul and the divine soul. And she helped Chiron and to shapeshift into his star body, because in the story, Chiron ultimately shapeshifts into his starlight, his star body, his light body, and becomes a constellation. And according to the legend, it was his wife that taught him how to do this and held space for him to do this. And then after he became a constellation and he left his body, she shapeshifted it back to becoming a mermaid. And she represents new stories about healing. She represents inviting life in and soul in and for holding space for the deepest transformation and holding space and presence and love for when we're in that place of pain and suffering. So I'm bringing this up because I would say let's invite her in to our space now. She was discovered in 1997. On February 15th, right near Valentine's Day. So she's also about just being able, just teaching us how we can become something, how we can expand our souls and our light bodies to become something very different. She's associated with soul retrieval and a love consciousness, deeply supporting us all in transforming the wounds into our medicine and holding space for our fracture points, bringing that love in, that compassion and that presence and that understanding that it is through these fracture points, through these cracks where the love can come in and we can become even, you know, it supports our evolution. So I want to say that she's very prominent and her energy is really expanded. And we have the moon in Virgo, and the moon at least on the East Coast where I live, the moon is at 13 degrees Virgo. Virgo is the priestess. She is, the grounded aspect of the divine feminine, and she supports us in taking small, sweet steps to analyze and understand the old belief systems that are running us on the unconscious level and the old paradigms that we've been living out of. She helps us. She's associated with the goddess Spider Woman. And so she co-creates the web of life with the divine. And she sees the details and she sees where the healing is needed. She sees where there are some webs that need to be woven, where there may be a break in the web. And she also sees where there is some webs that need to be released. So she's all about being in service. She's all about self-reflection and checking on our inner web to make those small, sweet changes so that we can harvest a new paradigm. And at the time of the solstice, she's really interested in strengthening and healing our inner web of light and also making tangible changes. She's grounded. She's earthy. Now, she is squared by Jupiter and opposite Saturn. And so she's also really expanded during this time. And opposite Saturn is like really this invitation, a strong invitation for sober self-reflection. What is working and what is not working in your life? Where do you need to reweave that inner web? Where do you need to release, heal, and where do you need to make a stronger connection to that web of life that connects us all, and that web of your own light that reminds you that you have capacity to transform and heal and step into your joy, your enthusiasm, your courage, your strength, your love, no matter what's happening. Virgo assists you in setting clear intentions for the solstice. The veils are very thin at solstice. The ley lines in the earth are expanding. And so it is a great time to set clear intentions, to plant the seeds that will be harvested. Our thoughts, she reminds us that our thoughts, our intentions, and our willingness to connect to our inner light and to radiate that, our actions, they matter. They are in service to the all, but that it's also important to recognize that those small, sweet steps that we take for our own healing and in our own life to become more coherent and aligned matters, and it affects the whole. So she's the moon. We've got this beautiful Venus, and then we have Mars. Mars is going through a bit of stress. So Mars goes retrograde every 2 years. And, Mars is retrograde from December 6th to February 23rd. And at the same time, Mars is working with a huge initiation by being opposite Pluto. And that began on November 3rd, right before Election Day in the United States. And it will complete April 26th. So it's about a 6-month initiation that Mars is going through. The exact dates are November 3rd, January 3rd, and April 26th. But I look at Pluto cycles as the initiation lasts the whole 6 months, not just those 3 days. And so, Mars is our connection to our inner masculine. Mars is our connection to our drive, our young energy. Carolyn Casey calls it your woof. It's our empowered forward motion. So what's happening is that with Mars in retrograde, there's a slowing down, a going inward, and a need to pause so that we can repair and review how we are taking action in this world, how we are aligned to our masculine principle, our drive. So, and it's crossing two archetypes. So on November 3rd, Mars was in Cancer. And when it moves to Leo, into Leo at 6 degrees Leo, on December 6th, and then it starts to go back through the Cancer mysteries and then forward, and it moves direct in Cancer, and then it goes back into Leo, and then this completion point with Pluto. Mars is in Leo when Pluto is up. There's a lot of astrology, but I'm going to tell you what it means now. Okay. Mars is having this very intense conversation with Pluto, which means that we are having a very intense conversation with Pluto, our drive, our inner masculine. And so we're looking at what do we need to do? How do we need to transform and to shed in order to embrace a whole new way of being? So I'm going to talk about Pluto being in Aquarius and will remain in Aquarius for the next 20 years. And what that means, and how it's very interesting that with Pluto moved into Aquarius fully on November 19th. Pluto had little dips into Aquarius in 2023 and 2024. And now Pluto is solidly there for the next 20 years till 2044. And this is a time that we are shedding the story of power over, of manipulation, abuse of power, the story of separation and the story of needing to externalize self-worth, needing to be validated externally to know who we are. It's also about shedding the story of abuse, conquest, manipulation, narcissism. I'm not saying that everyone's going to shed this. It's actually what happens in a Pluto cycle is this energy gets really big, really visible on the world stage. But the invitation for those of us who are working consciously with these cycles is to really review, to slow down, to go within, to pause, because Mars is retrograde, and that's what we do when Mars is retrograde, and the energy slows down. And in fact, things that you may be trying to put into motion in your life, there may be some pausing. So Pluto dismembers. It's about dying to what no longer serves us, feeling the intensity of how this has played out in our lives. So it's really about looking at, how the abuses of patriarchy have affected us all, how we are affected by it, but also how we may unconsciously perpetuate it in our lives so that we can enter this Aquarian space with a lot of clearing. And I really think that this feminine energy in Aquarius, conjunct Chariclo and the moon in Virgo are supporting this. That moon in Virgo is supporting clarity and being able to see that inner web, see what needs to be shifted, and that support to do the things, to bring in the awareness and to make those changes. And Chariclo is holding that incredibly loving space and that space of our souls, pulling through fragments of our souls that maybe haven't been here before, soul retrieval and holding that, being a space holder and a container, and that spinning that grace for us to shapeshift, to change. So when Mars is opposite Pluto in the collective, on the world stage, we tend to see a lot of polarization, a lot of anger, a lot of emotions, a lot of explosive energy and chaos. On an inner level, it's more of an inner, your assignment is to shed and to heal and transform how you may have absorbed some of these energies, like maybe needing to prove yourself or anything about your life that feels performative, no longer really alive for you. How you may need the approval of others to validate your self-worth, unhealthy competition. And it's all about turning inward, owning the shadow. And it also may be, you know, issues of past lives may come up. Ancestral, how you may be carrying some of the wounds of your ancestors, as well as how you carry the shadow aspects of the culture. So, you know, what are the actions that come from not knowing who you are or that you have innate worth and value? Because our culture really didn't teach that. Where may you be acting from a place of unconsciousness, of conditioning, of fear and being in survival mode? Where are you cut off from yourself and needing to prove yourself or manipulate the circumstances so that you can feel self-worth and self-love? This, I'm describing the shadow of Leo, because the shadow of Leo is what comes up. The shadow of Leo is like, I'm God, but you're not. It's the need to be seen because you don't see yourself. We don't, you know, and again, it's that seeking that external validation, but it's also that the shadow of the king. The shadow of, healthy Leo, which is what we are transforming and transmuting healthy Leo, into healthy Leo, which is about learning how to really carry your courage, your creativity, to really know that you are divine and so is everyone else, that we all carry that spark of light, that hologram of the one, that unity
in our hearts. And when we align our actions to come from that place, we connect to radical, radiant self-love. And that energy is like the warm light of the sun that inspires other people, that makes other people feel good about themselves, that it's like a candle that lights all the other candles in the room. Healthy Leo supports self-love and creativity with nothing to prove, but Leo's a fire sign. So Leo loves to be creative and to be an actor, you know, to be on the stage of life, to show up. So Pluto pulls up from the depths like a roto-rooter, all the unhealthy aspects that we may be carrying, including the fear of being visible and the fear of being seen in our authentic selves, in our weirdness, in our light. Because we may have had lifetimes where that wasn't safe, and it may not even be safe now, but it's, you know, we still want to show up in our authentic, the qualities that make us come alive, and to demonstrate them and to contribute them to our lives and to the world. So, and with Mars being retrograde, there's this need to repair, release, reprogram, reflect, rewire, and to receive this healthy connection. And it's not just that it's needed, it is needed. Certainly you can see how all this might be needed as we move into a new time, a whole new time with Pluto being in Aquarius for the next 20 years. Other outer planets are going to be shifting. Neptune is going to be moving into Aries in 2025. Saturn is moving into Aries. Uranus is moving into Gemini over the summer. So all of these major planetary initiators are shifting. And so I think it's very interesting that at this solstice point, this powerful time of light flooding in, and light in our heart, you know, stepping up or shimmering in response. And then we have this very deep kind of need to look at a very profound shadow aspect that's in our world, but that we're carrying too. So Mars in retrograde slows the energy down and supports us in drawing inward and reflecting and transmuting. Pluto is more adds intensity and emotion, and kind of like a, you know, we're engaging in death, rebirth, deep transformation, deep roto-rooter, and also it's pulling up fear. It's pulling up issues around survival. That's what Pluto does. So we are deeply inquiring how we carry the distorted masculine or drive into the world through our thoughts, through our words, and through our actions. And this is an opportunity for pausing, reflection, releasing, rewiring, and deep change. So what is the conditioning that you are shedding about safety, about survival, and how are you showing up for yourself? Are you allowing yourself to be seen? Are you allowing yourself to contribute? Are you allowing the chaos and overwhelm of the world to separate you from your own inner source of wisdom, of strength, of courage, of intuition and inspiration, of enthusiasm for being alive? Because that's all, you know, Leo. So it's, you know, and what can you do to stay connected? Is it being in nature? Is it dancing and listening to music? Is it meditation? Do it all. And then also, how may you have been performing in your life to gain love and acceptance? So we are unlearning performance, and we're pulling back the layers, and we're relearning how to relate to our innate sense of being love, being love, being loving, and being taking inspired creative action that is because it inspires us, rather than performative. So Mars goes direct in Cancer, moves into Cancer, and on January 6th, re-enters Cancer January 6th. And so this is a shift. It goes direct in Cancer, but the last conversation Mars has with Pluto, Mars is back in Leo. Leo's after Cancer. So Mars in Cancer is all about remembering the softer qualities of the embodied masculine. Mars shifts back into Cancer in January, and it shifts to the drive to nourish ourselves deeply so that we can nourish others and so that we can just be nourished. It's like we cannot give from a well that is dry. So Mars in Cancer is about learning how to give from a place of fullness and abundance. Mars in Cancer is about looking at what nourishes me. What is active self-care look like? The active drive to nourish myself and others. That forward motion that allows us to have access to our feelings, to our vulnerabilities, to our open-heartedness. It is that open-hearted, nourishing, actional self, the drive for self-care, care for others, creating a safe space so that the vulnerable aspect of yourself can heal and be seen and be present, but also creating a safe space for others. Cancer is very empathic, kind. And we are relearning what it means to be a responsible, nurturing energy and what it means to restore that to the masculine principle, the masculine active energy within us, the one who nourishes you, that active desire to nurture self and others. So, what's also happening is that, Pluto, this is all that Mars in Leo, when Mars is in Leo and it's opposite Pluto, it's also trine the North Node. So this energy is being kind of brought in to this shifting the collective destiny by being willing to do this shadow work and deepen your connection with healthy self-love and healthy self-worth and your creativity and your courage to play full out. To show up in your life and to show up, at this time that needs you to show up. And that means whatever, however you were inspired to show up and to recognize that whatever you do, if you're a meditator, if you're an artist, if you're a friend, you know, it doesn't have to be, it can be whatever you're intuitively guided to do, whatever your inner voice of wisdom shows you. The next small sweet steps for your contribution. But we're stripping away some of the gunk that I spoke about earlier. And it's meant to be a time of rebirthing, how you relate to your drive. It is meant to be a time of revelations and awakenings. It is meant to be a time where you say, no, I'm not going to let the noisiness of the world and the chaos of the world dislocate me from my inner lantern, my inner light. And that is, we also have a very strong Neptune energy at this time. Neptune is square the sun, and it is conjunct the North Node. And so you may be feeling, this isn't as loud. Like, so the Mars-Pluto energy is loud. You can see it in the world. You may also really feel it in yourself. The Neptunian energy is quieter and softer, and it's about the dream world, the visionary realm, getting stronger. It's a stronger connection to your heart energies, to inner guidance, to your luminosity, but also because it's square the sun, it may be a time that you feel tired or that you feel kind of heavy, that you feel like you just can't get a lot done. And I would say don't push yourself. When you can slow down, you'll feel that Neptunian energy that's kind of encouraging you to soften and step into that inner guidance realm. And you know, with Neptune being really strong, it's a time of not trying to figure it all out. It's not linear. It's about connecting to the oceanness of your being and allowing Neptune to connect you to a larger field of visions and dreams and possibilities and synchronicities. And, that may not be concrete, but it's more of a feeling. It's going beyond and connecting to that still point within yourself. So it's important to remember that when we are healing and repairing our connection to the sacred masculine and transforming our shadow, it can be tiring, into that healthy Leo drive for creativity, self-love, that inner light, that radiance, that innate sense of value and worth. And that we are also healing and repairing that old story of separation and that old story of power over and being separate from the earth and all the corruption, all of this abuse of power, corruption. It's all getting very loud and very visible. And it's sometimes difficult to think, oh, you know, what can I do? We certainly don't want to meet that energy with more of itself. That's where you get violence. Instead, we want to transform how it lives in us. And it's important to remember that when we transform ourselves, we are also contributing to the collective. When we take small actions in our life, it does impact the collective field. It's important to remember this, and it's important to hear this many, many, many times, that you're, as you balance and heal your energy, as you own your shadow, as you make concrete changes, as Saturn opposite the moon is asking us to do, it affects the collective field. It contributes to the light of the world. It stabilizes. It holds space for us to go in, to heal these wounds that we're carrying from so many past lives and from the culture, from our ancestors. And that we are alive during a profoundly transitional time, where there is rapid accelerated change and rapid, you know, shadow from many, many ages and times coming out and being expressed to be digested and healed and transmuted and finally to move beyond. But it takes time. And even though there's a lot of new energy here, there's a lot of light, things that happen on the frequency of light and the mental body and the spiritual body, changes happen fast, but they take a much longer time to work their way through physical reality. It takes about 10 times longer than we think it should or than we wish it should. And during that time of that, where we're still transitioning, and it may take many years, that we remember that our light contributes, our actions contribute, and that self-love and self-confidence, to cultivate that, to understand that your life is a contribution. So I am shifting gears to talking a bit about Pluto in Aquarius. So Pluto moved into Aquarius on November 19th and will stay there until 2044. Pluto can only be in Aquarius every 248 years. 248 years ago, we had the French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Industrial Revolution. And the Constitution of the United States was written during that time. And Pluto in Aquarius is an air sign. It's associated with the sky and with space. So Pluto in Aquarius is coming right after Pluto in Capricorn. That was from 2008 to 2024.
Pluto in Capricorn exposed unfairness and dysfunction and corruption in all of our structures and all of our lives and invited us to transform that. Some of us did, but there's also this huge, like, exposed, like it's just bubbled out. And what happens is that Pluto in Aquarius will seek to change some of that, will seek to remedy some of that, to overthrow the plutocracy, and to use technology and innovation as a way to even out the playing field. Pluto in Aquarius supports us in loving ourselves back to wholeness, loving each other back to wholeness. So Aquarius is definitely associated with collective energy, is associated with the grassroots level and communities, things changing out of the community, creating communities that are prototypes, that are so, that are living a new paradigm that is so, that creates such an attractor field that other people want to emulate that rather than forcing it. Although it's Pluto and, the shadow of Aquarius will show up. So, I'll talk about that in a minute. So Pluto in Aquarius is all about innovation in science and technology and creates and is also associated with expansive, accelerated changes in our consciousness, where we take quantum leaps, where there is revolution in our collective structures that affect our lifestyles, our communities, our medicine, technology. Pluto in Aquarius, sparks of creative genius, visionary ideas that are way ahead of their time, the power of community and grassroots where we question authority. Aquarius is associated with the higher mind, our souls, our higher selves, our uniqueness, our upper chakras. Aquarius has a great desire for evolution, for exploration, for creating new paradigms in our communities, in our schools, in our government, in our medicine, technology, justice, and in our communications. Pluto in Aquarius is also about finding your pod, finding your community, deepening friendships. Aquarius is really all about human rights and freedom. So when Pluto is in Aquarius, Aquarius transforms and shapes society. And so we might see a much greater exploration of space, of artificial intelligence, of scientific and technological discoveries and breakthroughs that completely transform our lives and our understanding of how we fit into the universe. Copernicus discovered that the earth is round, or who knows when he discovered it, but he tried to communicate it, had a bit of resistance, when Pluto was in Aquarius 244 years before the 1700s. This is associated with, understanding our place in the cosmos and having kind of our minds blown about our connection to the galactic, to the multidimensional, being able to step into that. So 20 years from now, looking back at yourself, 20 years from now, looking back, you will be amazed at how much more connected you are to your higher self, at how much you're able to step into your multidimensionality and how the grassroots and community level of life transformed, you know, that we stopped looking for the leaders to change us. We changed them. And we did that through changing our consciousness. So I do want to talk about, the shadow, of Aquarius as well, because you can, you know, when you can't talk about an archetype without talking about all of it. And you can't talk about an archetype that's working with Pluto without knowing that sometimes the shadow will also show up and that we will be working our way through this. So Pluto empowers the archetype of Aquarius and the Aquarian energies. And Pluto is about death, rebirth. It is intense. It is messy, but Pluto ultimately empowers the archetype that it touches to transform us as individuals, as communities,
and as a collective by embracing and transforming the shadow. So the shadow of Aquarius is extremism, is, can look like being, you know, the shadow is like what happens when we are, when technology seeks to control us. Or Aquarius is this air energy, this spirit energy that doesn't really necessarily by itself care about a body. And so it's easy to get disconnected from our bodies and from nature, and our nervous systems can get really overloaded. I know you already know what I'm talking about because you are alive now. And when there is too much connection to technology, and our computers and our phones and the fast pace that's just going to keep getting faster, we can get overwhelmed and overloaded. And there can be too much focus on the mental and on spiritual bypass. And also like this thing of whoever has the technology has the power. However, what I want to say about this is that Aquarius really seeks liberation. And so, yes, there will definitely be people that try to use technology to control and to manipulate. There will be governments that steal each other's technology, and there will be a continuation of trying to suppress breakthroughs that ultimately free us, right? Like maybe free energy or just things that are freeing, right? That's what Aquarius is all about. There'll be a trying to suppress this, but guess what? You cannot suppress this when Pluto's in Aquarius. There will be breakthroughs. Like the church tried to suppress that the earth was round, but that did not work. Also, with Pluto being in Aquarius, it's like, what are the ethical implications of all this technology? What are the ethical implications of artificial intelligence? Pluto in Aquarius isn't Aquarius is like, let's move it forward. Let's experiment. Let's find out. And there isn't always this pause and reflection of like, how is this going to affect people? Well, it's going to affect us and then we'll find out, you know? So with Pluto having been in Capricorn, we have learned ways to ground ourselves. We have learned about how our bodies works, how our nervous system works, and how to balance our nervous system. And so you're going to really need, and if you haven't learned it yourself, it's everywhere. It's very easy to find courses, therapists that are somatically based, you know, YouTube videos to find ways to balance your nervous system and to slow yourself down. Now, the best way is to be in nature. So Pluto and Aquarius energy in a positive way, going back to the positive, understands that as we evolve as individuals, like raindrops in a bucket, we create evolution in the collective. As you evolve, heal, transform, and grow, so too does the collective. Awake people create an awake world. That's how it happens. I know I've said this before in this talk, but I'm going to say it again, because we don't all evolve at the same speed. And so there's the individual level and there's the collective level. And you might be peeking out at the collective going, is anything happening? Like, it doesn't happen at the same pace. However, the transformations that will occur in you and in the collective will be irreversible, and create permanent change. Pluto creates permanent change. So, what else would I like you to know about Pluto in Aquarius? There's a lot of buzzy energy that's not grounded. And so we need to ground. And, it is interesting that with Pluto having shifted back into Aquarius since November 19th, we've had the overthrow of Assad's regime. We've had an impeachment in South Korea because the president stepped into, you know, creating martial law, and the people were like, no way, we're not going and doing that. We've had two assassinations.
we have this mysterious in the sky up above, these drones that nobody knows. Well, I'm sure there are people that know, but there's a lot of mystery. What is this? This is all what we would expect. So Pluto in Aquarius also empowers social movements at the grassroots level, empowers protest movements. And it is that time of that caterpillar becoming a butterfly. And once we're the butterfly, we are not going back to being the caterpillar. We will be learning about our galactic history. We will see some amazing breakthroughs in science and technology, and there will be crises around this. Because if it's not rooted in ethics and thoughtfulness and fairness, it'll need to be repaired. It'll be to transform so it does. You know, we don't want to see medical breakthroughs that are only available to the wealthy few, especially the Aquarius energies. The Aquarius energies is very much humanitarian and egalitarian. So this may happen, but there will be, and also a reaction to that. Aquarius is that crazy genius that's just inventing things. Some of those inventions will be really helpful and some will be harmful. And there'll be light and there'll be dark. There'll be shadow that needs to be transformed and there'll be massive evolution. And again, just, in your own selves, Aquarius is the higher self, the higher mind. And how do we weave our multidimensionality, that spark of light that is connected to all? How do we weave this into the lives that we live? Will we get there all the way at the end of 20 years? No. We're going to move this forward and evolve as much as we can over the next 20 years, knowing that we're all doing this in different speeds. Some expressions of the shadow are going to get really big, and there'll also be a lot of expressions of breakthroughs and rapid evolution and at being able to find ways to bring that higher consciousness and that light into our institutions, into our communities, and to be that example. We'll do what we can, and we'll continue to evolve and grow on this planet. But this is a planet of duality, of light and dark and free will. And so I don't want you to get caught in this idea of, well, we're in this Aquarian time, so it's all going to be amazing, and then be disappointed when, oh, we're all just human. yes, there'll be quantum leaps that we take together. And remember, the energy shifts first, and then things change on the physical level, and the body moves at a different time. Now, during this solstice, I want to just go back that Mars is opposite Pluto, and Pluto is also conjunct Ceres. Ceres is the Earth. So there is this this intensity around just seeing how much the last industrial revolution that we had. Now we need to find ways of repairing the earth as a result of the toxicity and the damage and the dishonoring and the imbalancing that has been caused. And we're seeing the effect. But it also, Ceres is about how we nourish and support each other and are people's needs being met for basic things. And you can see that this is very much in the zeitgeist, kitchen table issues. I want to remind you again that this Chiriclo, goddess energy is very present. And also Haumea, the Hawaiian fertility goddess is, squaring Pluto for the next 3 years. And this is just, again, this reminder that we're in a time of incredible fertility. We're also in a time of collapse and rebirth, and that regeneration takes place after an unraveling, and that that she is this energy to remind us that she can create land masses where there was no land masses. She can create food and fruit and abundance where you thought you couldn't. And it's just this surprising fertility energy that is also present. We're reminded of that. Let's see. Uh, So we're going to be, you know, riding the highs and the lows of new discoveries and a fast pace of innovation and change and transformation and how it's affecting our culture. It is important. I'm going to say it again. Please do not become distracted by the chaos and the unraveling of the times that we're in, because we are also in a time of repair, reweaving with this light and holding the earth steady. We're being called to hold this earth steady during this immense time of change by connecting to that light within and seeing that light within one another. We cannot control how this revolutionary impulse will move through the world. We cannot control if it is peaceful and amazing or, you know, or not. There is this, with Pluto and Aquarius, there is this feeling of like burn it to the ground and then it will grow back again. And, you know, we want to hold the light to do this in intelligent and thoughtful ways. You know, oftentimes these revolutionary impulses are responding to how much oppression and repression there is. And so in the case of Syria, where there was maximum oppression and repression, you know, it had to be much more, you know, whereas, you know, Aquarian revolutions can happen through thought, through ideas, through spirituality as well. It's all of that. So I just want to include that it's all of that. So, Aquarius does seek to create a more just and equitable world. And Pluto in Aquarius and the Aquarian energy seek to remind us that awakened people create an awakened world, and, that Aquarius seeks to bring liberation, freedom, and breakthroughs. And that we will move the dial on this as far as it can go within the collective at this time. So one more thing I want to tell you about is that obviously at solstice, the sun is moving into 0 degrees Capricorn, and Capricorn is known as the goatfish, which I thought was interesting since we were talking about Chiracleo being a fish going on in the water, going on the land, moving from these watery, unconscious, spiritual connected realms into these practical, earth-based human realms. And Capricorn too has the tail of the fish and the body of the goat. And so Capricorn can climb the mountains and be rugged and, but also can swim to the depths. And Capricorn is about learning to be masterful, learning to own your wisdom, the wisdom of the unconscious and the wisdom of the conscious. And, you know, just, to be asking yourself at this time of the solstice, what wisdom and strength have you gained through all of life's challenges up until now? In the past several years, in the past year in particular of 2024, what wisdom can you harvest from this year and take with you as you step into the next year? It would be helpful to do a release ceremony, to maybe write down some things that you wish to release and invite in the spirit of fire to support you, and maybe, you know, burn it in your fireplace or build a little fire outside. During this solstice time, the sun is on the galactic cross, which means the sun is lined up with the energy and the frequencies coming from galactic center, the heart of our universe, where divine light comes in. So it's helpful to, you know, over the next, it's really very active for a few weeks on either side. So it's helpful to watch the sunsets, the sunrise, and to close your eyes and to feel that light and how that light connects to your light and how your light connects to all life and the web of all of life. So, that's all for now. Wishing you peace during this season